He's alive. Amen. Our God reigns. He is alive this morning. Hallelujah. What a blessing to be in the house of God with brothers and sisters. I know we're in a little different setting, but it is good to be together this morning again with each other. What would we do without the saints of God? What would we do without the redeemed saints? Are we encouraged this morning? Amen. Welcome, Josiah and Fran. It's good to have you in our midst again. Going on. Bear with us as we get the sound right in here for the first time. Just want to express my thanks to the, before we start here, my thanks to the team that is in control or managing the remodel. I just am so blessed. We had a few meetings to just kind of talk about vision, the why, and why do we want to do this? What are we doing it for? And felt clear moving ahead after we counseled with, you know, the others, the rest of you that had input. Thank you for that. And I'm just blessed with working. John Omer and I aren't working in the midst of it. We've kind of helped cast the vision and the purpose and everything. But just to see you all working together, Seth and Mel Esch, Dan Lapp, Austin, Sim, and just to watch you all just work in unison has been a, I didn't hear anything, so from what I see, it just feels like there's just a flow there. So there was a man that told me this past week, he said, you know, they had, he talked to another fellow that they were going through a hard time in their church, and the cause that stirred the hard time was a church remodel. And I just thought to myself, may God have his way in our midst. May we humble ourselves before each other. I can easily see that there could be a critical attitude. There could be differences of opinion. And when those are pushed really hard, it makes it difficult. And it causes division. It causes disunity and division. God bless you for your efforts, those of you who are walking in that. I'm going to just pray yet for for Eli's before we start, and also Fanny, her situation, and then also pray for Mel and Kate. They're at River of Life in Ohio this morning, and he's also preaching there, so they're sharing in song and also preaching. So let's just bow our heads for prayer and pray for them. And also for Eli's. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to be together. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we know that when we pray, you hear us and you care about the little details of our life, just like we heard this morning. Lord, we just lift up Fanny to you this morning, God, the Yoder family. For Eli, Lord, I pray, God, you would give them wisdom as they're in the hospital there this morning and faced with decisions. Lord, we ask for wisdom, specifically, Lord, for them, for the future of the care that's needed there, Lord. May you guide them down a path where you want them to go, Father. And Lord, that they would hear you. They would hear from the Holy Spirit of God that is our teacher and our guide and helps us along the path of life. So we just thank you. May Christ be exalted in their midst, Lord. Give them the grace they need for today. Father, we just pray for healing for Fanny. Just ask God that you would take the discomfort away, heal the heart there, whatever is needed, Lord. We just ask God that you would strengthen her this morning. May your grace be sufficient for them. God, we also pray you would be with Mel and Kate and their family this morning in Ohio at River of Life, Lord. Lord, that they could have a blessing of a time together, that you would be in their midst, Lord, and also as Mel shares the word of God with the church there, may they be encouraged. And Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity to be a part of the global body and just thinking of all the churches in the nation here, all the churches in the globe as they worship you this morning and exalt you. We're just so thankful to be a part of that, a part of your bride. And may that bride continue to become spotless. May the blemishes be redeemed, Father, this morning, there at River of Life and also here, God. So we just commit our time to you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, maybe just a little bit of a, my message this morning is on God's fullness, and we're going to start in Matthew 5, but I would just want to give you a backdrop a little bit. The last few times that I shared, I shared on baptism, and then we went on to right religion and how that might look in our lives. And serving those that are afflicted, serving the widows, the widowers, and how that is lived out in our life. And this morning, I want to start in the Sermon on the Mount. And I've been in there for the last 6 months just looking at the Sermon on the Mount and what that means to us and how we can be challenged by that sermon. So, again, my heart that this year has been to express the urgency of the time that we live in and how we have a window of opportunity for preparation. You know, we really live in a time of grace when you look at the rest of the world. And if I can somehow relay to you the urgency that I feel, even the other elders here, feel the urgency of the hour that we live in, of the time that we have for preparation for all eternity. And my heart is that we would somehow embrace the foundational things in our lives that the Word of God brings to us and walk them out, believe them, somehow look in the Word and take the Word and apply it to our life, that it becomes part of, you know, you got up this morning and you put your clothes on to prepare yourself to come. May what is shared be part of the fabric of your spiritual and journey of life. May you put it on and it would become a part of your life. It would be what you believe. It's what you live out day to day. It's foundational. It puts roots underneath you. And that's my heart. So as I bring challenges this morning, hear me out. My heart is that the foundational things that I'm sharing would take you to a further place, that they would become a part of our lives, your life, that you can walk with God closer. And may God speak to us. May His Word speak to us this morning. Okay, Matthew 5, God's fullness. Verse 6. Let me just say this yet. I was so blessed leading up to this. You know, when you study and prepare for a message, you sometimes have these thoughts of, you know, is this really what God wants? Lord, is this really what you want me to share? Wouldn't there be possibly something else that could come into this message or whatever? And leading up to this, I knew I had been working on this for a while, this particular verse, verse 6, blessed are they which you hunger and thirst after righteousness. And he says, for they shall be filled. And last night in closing, Elmer just confirmed it. You didn't try it. It just was on your heart. You quoted this verse and said, this is our heart for today. This morning, Sammy, you read some of the scripture out of Psalm 24 that I was going to read. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And then it goes on explaining how great God is. T- to me, that's confirmation enough. I need to share this. This is what God has for us this morning. So praise God for that. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Here we see in this verse, hunger and thirst is an action word. It's a verb. So the Sermon on the Mount wasn't given as a way of salvation or to the lost, but it was rather a way of life and for the children of the kingdom. He was talking, he says earlier, he taught them. He's talking about his disciples. And seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain. When he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he taught them. So he was talking to the children of the kingdom, and the same for this morning. And so as we look at hunger and thirst as an action word, my thoughts went to how much time, when we look at the physical food, how much time is invested into food and to satisfy our physical hunger? I didn't look it up anywhere, but I can't imagine what it would be, how much time we actually spend or invest around preparation of food, growing food, serving food, washing dishes. And if you add that up times 70 years, how much time would that be? I don't know. Maybe the ladies know better than I do. Does anybody know? It's got to be years. But it was just a challenge to think about my efforts. What are my efforts going into? Again, food is good. Food is good. It is. I love tasting different food. But how much time do we spend doing that versus preparing spiritually? The intake of spiritual food and the intake of just the thirsting spiritually. But to grow and prep food to survive. How much time do we invest in hungering after righteousness? Notice it says, if you pursue righteousness, you're going to be filled. So what does hungering and thirsting after righteousness look like? Just a little bit ahead, 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then he says, all these things will be added unto you. And he's talking specifically about physical food. He's talking about clothing. He's talking about the birds, everything. He's talking about the lilies. He clothes them, and he totally takes care of them. It is not a problem. But then he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So may we just build off of that. What does hungering and thirsting after righteousness, what might that look like? The Amplified says, in Matthew 5, it says, blessed, then in parentheses, joyful, nourished by God's goodness are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, those who actively seek right standing with God, for they shall be satisfied. So this morning, what are you not satisfied with? What is there a peace? Is there a contentment in you? What are you filled with? What are you satisfied with? That which you are filled with, does it bring life? Does it bring life? Does it bring life for yourself? Does it bring life for others? What type of religion is in you? We heard about that the last time I preached. What do you bring life to others? Do you bring life to those that are afflicted, the widows, the orphans? Hunger and thirst after righteousness. What happens when his righteousness fills us? So let's look at what the Bible says. I have some verses. You don't have to turn there. Just listen, and then I'll bring some verses out. Proverbs 21:21 says, he that followeth or pursues righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness, and honor. Psalm 17:15 says, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. So God satisfies those who seek righteousness. Psalm 63:5, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. So when there's something, when there's a hunger and a thirst for righteousness, and we hear so far, when there's an intense desiring, an intense longing, then he can fill us. When we are hungry for food or thirsty for water, waiting, pressing on, hoping it's there, when you finally find it, it is so relieving, so satisfying. I know sometimes working in the hot sun, and you just didn't bring enough of water. And all of a sudden, this thirst pang hits you. And you're like, I gotta find water somewhere. I mean, I'm just dehydrating. I'm sweating, I'm dehydrating. And the desperation for water just engulfs you. It's like, I gotta find water. And I was challenged as I thought of this. When I'm discouraged, when I'm desperate, do I know where to find life? Do I know where I can drink? When there's a problem on my hands, or there's a challenge in my life, do I know where to go? Do I know where to find God and his life, his bread, to satisfy that thirst? So when you're pressing on, you're hoping it's there, don't give up on the first try. Rise up. Rise up in faith and believe him. Psalm 63:1, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Psalm 107:9, for he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with good things. So only God can fill a hungry, longing human soul. Only God can do that. And as we trust in him, so let God fill you. Let God fill you with good things. So how can God fill us? Or let me ask it this way. How can God fill us if we're already full? How can God fill us if we're already full of ourselves? We may have the need to be in charge, taking our life back from God, possibly. So how can he fill us with all his righteousness if we're full of ourselves? Or we want what we want because it feels good to us. Anything other doesn't feel very good. So what do I do when I see this in my life? The word that the Bible gives is, let's capitalize it this morning. Repent. Repent. When I see this in my life, can I come to God and repent for that selfishness? And Jesus taught this, the message that he was teaching here, he was teaching shortly after he was baptized. I think it was earlier, a couple chapters earlier, he was baptized. And again, this message was for the kingdom of the children of the kingdom, the saints. So, again, why does it seem like I can't stay full of him? Why do I'm on this journey. I'm on this relapse. It's like a drug addict getting delivered and then going back into it again. Seen that many of times. And the thought that crosses my mind is, the warning that I want to bring to us this morning is, if you picture it and you parallel it with a drug addict, could there possibly be a time, if we don't take this window of opportunity, this time that we're in, to put our roots down, to get grounded, could there be the possibility when there's a relapse of discouragement, it'll kill you spiritually? Because honestly, if we don't take the window of opportunity that we're in, we're not prepared for what's ahead. That's my warning. Repent. And that comes out of the question, why does it seem like I can't stay filled with God? And I'm challenging myself with you this morning. I've like I said, I've been working on this message, and it just challenges me. Number one, first, have you put your faith in Christ? Have you repented for your sin? For the sin of doing what I want? Or the sin of unbelief? Repent, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he says, thou shalt be saved. Saved. Praise God. So his message was after the baptism. And again, this has been on my heart. I shared on baptism. I shared on the believer's baptism. And I some of you have been asking about baptism. We've been working through those things. And it has stirred thoughts in me. And I look back across the Word. I look back on people's lives. I look back on their testimonies. And I also look at the fruit that baptism, the believer's baptism, has brought into their lives. Very foundational. Very foundational for our lives. In setting a foundation, putting roots down, and then moving ahead. How many times do we get it hinosh fedosh, backwards? How many times do we look at it like, but I want the dessert first, and then I'll maybe eat some cooked food? Is it not right to get the foundation right first? And that's my challenge this morning, is baptism, the believer's baptism. If you haven't believed and you were baptized, settle that. Settle that with a believer's baptism. And I'm excited for those of you who are asking questions, and we're working through it. And there's no time. There's no time limit. It's more your relationship with God. You will know when it's time. But pursue righteousness. Pursue that righteousness. So I guess the question comes back again is, how can we be filled when we're not following God's order? And this is just one aspect of the Christian journey, but an important one, because we saw just before Jesus preached the message, the Sermon on the Mount, he himself was baptized. So how can we be filled if we're not following God's order? When we don't follow God's order, how can we expect God to baptize us with the Holy Ghost, like it talks about earlier in Matthew? John says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me, Christ, is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Jesus shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. How does that look? I'm not always sure, but I want it, because it says it in his word here. Amen? But there's an order that God wants us to follow through with. So how can we be baptized with the Holy Ghost when we're full of ourselves? It will not happen. Righteousness. We want to walk in righteousness. Let us be filled with his righteousness. Let us be filled with him. Maybe we'll just answer that question. It's because we're filling a tank that has a leak. We're more concerned about our life than we are about what God wants for us. Jesus says, if you're hungry and thirsty, if you take what I want, my righteousness shall fill you. You shall be filled. And this morning I was so blessed. We sang that song. He is all my righteousness. I stand complete in him. He is all our righteousness. We need nothing more than Christ himself. He is all my righteousness. And then he shall fill you. So our life is not our own. Jesus is our life, and he will be our shepherd. But naturally, if the sheep don't follow the shepherd, eventually those sheep will be lost or potentially killed by a predator. In the natural sense, I tell you, I can't express to you how urgent my heart sometimes gets for the souls of our children. You know, we trust in God. We have faith in God. But sometimes I just tremble, and the fear of the Lord just comes on me. It's like, Lord, you have to take care of our children. And he will. He will. But I have a responsibility before him to pursue righteousness as a father. That's my challenge. So if we're not willing to walk in his ways, he will not fill us. If we're not willing to give of ourselves and let him fill us, we're not going to be filled with righteousness, because we're not hungry, we're not thirsty. We're not pursuing him. It's not a verb, it's not an action anymore. It's more just a thing we talk about. And that's my heart this morning. How much are we pursuing it? What does our life look like? When I look at Elmer's life, I can tell what you believe because you're walking it out. I can tell what you believe because you're walking it out. The saints of God are important to you. Sorry, I'm just picking you out, and all of you all. Let our belief be in action. Family is important to you. Your children are important to you. Pursuing righteousness and holiness. Matthew 3, 14 and 15. Just thinking about Christ being complete and him completing it for us. Let's actually start in 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. So it was important for John to do this for the completion of Christ's ministry and to give us an example, a testimony of what he was trying to portray to us. He is here to fulfill all righteousness, and he comes as righteousness. So again, set your roots down. Allow your roots to go deep. You know, this journey is becoming more and more narrow for me. I find that all the noise and the racket and the lights and the events and everything is overwhelming. It's becoming more and more narrow to me. And I say that without condemnation to any of those things, okay? Please understand me. When we fill ourselves with too much of that, we have no room for hunger and thirst. Allow time for God in your life. What about going on a prayer walk, even just once a week for an hour, and enjoying the earth and the fullness thereof? And just talking to God. I know some of you do, but I'm saying, can we more and more just put more of those things in our life? Shut down the podcasts. Shut down the messages. Read the Word of God. Feed yourself hunger and thirst like it's a needle in a haystack. And you're not satisfied till you find that needle. That little truth, that little nugget that you need just for this hour. For now. Oh, hallelujah. Set your roots down. Let them run deep into the ways of God, His righteousness, His holiness, living it, being a doer of the word. Yesterday, my wife and I love planting trees. My wife and I went to a tree nursery up here in Leola, and he was telling us about how you plant trees and why you do this and that. And as he was standing there explaining this to me, my message that I had been studying on earlier that day just started to become clear. I was like, this is why I'm sharing this. This is why I have a desire to share this. But he's saying, if you plant a tree, you can take that bulb of the tree. So you dig out the tree can be, it doesn't matter, 20 foot tall. You can plant that tree, you can take the bulb, you can set it on top of the ground. And if you put a little bit of water, just a drip system, right down in the around the trunk, in the bulb, and it just drips slowly for 12 to 15 hours a day, that tree's roots will go down into the ground without planting it. He had trees there that were as high as this ceiling. The bulbs were sitting on top of the ground. He did the drip thing for 1 year, and the roots went down into the ground, and they stayed there, and it's solid. It stayed there. It's growing. It's continuing to go down, but now it's just naturally, that's who it is. It's a tree planted. The roots are down in the ground. What I'm saying with, okay, then I just want to bring this into it. When you plant a tree and you just let the water gush on it for 5-10 minutes and everything just kind of runs out around, that tree's roots will surface because that's where the moisture is. So in other words, the life of that tree is in the roots. Wherever the roots head, that's where it's going to find life. So if you just drip slowly, the moisture goes down, 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 and the roots follow it. Are you with me? Hunger and thirst. If you go after God, your roots will be grounded in God. If you just slowly, you can go to a conference, you can hear the best message, you can leave from here today and be all fired up, whatever. But if you don't do anything to water that, it won't do anything for you. It's all surface. Your roots will actually curl up out of the ground. And guess what? When it gets hot, that tree will die because its roots aren't deep. The hour that we're in, it's imperative. We put our roots down spiritually. Unless we do, I tremble. I'm challenging myself this morning. Get the foundation right in your life. Walk in the ways that God says in His Word to do, and make it a part of your, be a doer of the Word. So the tree illustration is what you see of the tree is actually not what's true. If you see the roots, that's what's true. If you surface water that tree continuously, those roots will stay, they'll get a little bit bigger than the ball. And then because the moisture is always there, you're just dumping it on every once in a while. It's not a slow, steady, consistent spending time with type of thing. Those roots will start to curl around that bulb because they're just following the moisture. And that tree will last only a max of 30 years. Because it'll get so tight and there's no life to it because it doesn't go deep. I just found such an inspiration out of what he was sharing as I stood there. and a challenge. What am I doing with my life? Am I going after, thirsting after where there's moisture, the Word of God? Or is it just curling around and everything is just surface, and the first storm that comes along just blows it over? Because however deep those roots go, it'll collect groundwater down deep, and that's exactly what the tree needs for the life of it. Now, picture this with me. It's gathering moisture naturally. That's just who it is now. It's grounded, it's rooted, it's deep. There's very little that can take the tree out, and up through comes the life out of those roots. You don't see what's happening down here, but there's life down there. Up through comes the life and goes out into the branches and gives life to others. It's good to sit under a shade tree in the summertime, right? It's refreshing. May we be the tree of life that God wants us to be, so we can give life to others. If you can measure the potential in this room for the life of God, oh God, help us. So deal with things in your life that hinder the roots from going down and keep you from being filled with God. Deal with the limiting beliefs on that repentance is not the answer, or is the answer. Repentance is the answer. There's life in Jesus Christ. He can make you complete. I don't think I'm going to go there. I want to mention a few things that could really hinder us from hungering and thirsting, or even having a desire to hunger and thirst. And keep in mind, as I mentioned these things, this is a demonic realm. This is darkness. The first one is unforgiveness. The second one is bitterness, harbored bitterness. Envy, jealousy, covetousness, desiring what others have, comparing yourself with each other. Or going back to the bitterness, I think it's James talks about, lest there be any root of bitterness, it defiles many. So last night we were talking about the cause and effect of how everything that we do, I guess everything, but there's a cause and effect to the things that we do. There's something that takes place when you do it. Either there's fruit or there's bitterness. It's a bitter taste. I wish I wouldn't have done that. I have regrets of doing that, right? So everything you plant in your life, there's a cause and effect. Again, it can be redeemed. But let's face it this morning, every word you speak, there's a cause and effect. How you speak matters to God and for your life. And so, also on the flip side, there's a cause and effect what you don't do and should do. If we're not hungering and thirsting after righteousness, what will the effects of that be? As we were sitting here last night in prayer meeting, it just hit me. If I'm a father that I'm supposed to be, like the Word of God asks me to be, then there's going to be a positive effect. But if I am not, if I'm missing things, or if you mothers are missing things in your children, then there's going to be an effect of that, whether positive or negative. So let's set our roots down and let us get rid of the things that hinder us from running the race. Again, the cross of Jesus Christ is the answer. The blood of Jesus, repenting to God and giving your life to God, you shall be saved. But these are the things that hinder us from being filled. Seeking, thirsting, hungering for righteousness is by faith in God. I'm going to go to James 2. James 2:14-26. James 2:14-26. He says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, that doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered up his son Isaac upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect?" Just going back to verse 21 there. So we see through faith in God and the works of God. And then 22, seest thou how faith wrought with his works, by works was faith made perfect. So in other words, it's just naturally coming out of us. The faith that is in us is just naturally coming out of us. Then he says, "And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness." So it was charged to him. It was attributed to him. It was imputed to him as righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. So simple faith that Abraham had, just get this picture, is we have faith, right? But if there's works with it, for Abraham it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Ye see then how that by thy works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Now we know that when we go to a viewing and there's a body laying there, it's very obvious there's no life in it. The spirit has gone on into eternity. There is no question, there is nothing as final as death for our bodies. Because when you go there to view, all the life is going out of it, is gone out of it, and it has stopped completely. And he makes this illustration, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. That is pretty serious when you think about it. So if you're all about faith and nothing of works, it's as if you see a body without life, without a spirit in it.